I want to share a couple of things before we get started. First thing is that the Bible tells us to stir ourselves up. Amen? Stir yourself up. So, when you're down, you know what you do? You stir yourself up. Hallelujah. Now, stirring yourself up is essential, especially because the enemy is always trying to oppress and depress. Amen? He's trying to put you in a place and position where your eyes are on you and not on the Lord. He tries to steal all the promises and covenants of God. And the enemy's done this for such a long time that we've actually got accustomed to living in that condition. The world has gotten accustomed to living in that condition. Well, this is just the way it is. How many times have you heard that? How many times have we said that? Well, this is just the way it is. The government is corrupt and that's all you can do. But there's more that we can do. Amen? Because it isn't the way it is anymore. Things are changing, and we're in that period of time of great exchange and change. So it's our responsibility, no matter what's going on, to keep stirring yourself up every day. Break out of the spirit of oppression. Break out of the spirit of self-affliction. Break out of that puddle. Some people are drowning in a 2-inch water of affliction, not even knowing it. They're drowning in it because they can't get their eyes off themselves and their circumstances. Can you imagine if Jesus got his eyes off, kept his eyes on all of his circumstances? Can you imagine knowing that he was going to go to the cross and be tortured, abused, and then nailed? He knew it. In fact, he had to stir himself up 3 times before it happened. The Bible tells us he went and prayed 3 times. And the first time he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this pass by. Then I was like, wait a minute, I'm here to do your will, not mine. For a split second. But he overcame instantly. If we could overcome quickly like that, we'd have no problem. So it's our responsibility to stir ourselves up. Amen? So we come and worship. We come together to stir ourselves up. How much better we feel. I don't care if you're sick or whatever. The more presence of God you have, the better you feel. Because it's not outer, it's inner. Amen? The battle is within you. It's in your mind and everything else. The outer is temporary. It's the spirit. It's the spirit that God has given you, which is eternal now. You know, there are so many things that are happening in the world right now. It's incredible. People are fighting for their independence. All the countries are fighting for their independence. The Antichrist regime has been controlling all governments and principalities so long now. Like I said, we've become accustomed to it. But that's changing now. It's changing all over the world. You know, this month is, you know, so many, and the deception, just look, thinking about the compromise, which compromise is so dangerous, and we've talked about this before. So many people are more consistent in compromising than they are following the Lord. And, you know, the compromise in the body of Christ has become natural. It's not sin anymore. It's become okay. So it's okay to celebrate Halloween. Oh, it's okay. No, it's not. It's a satanic worship day. And how many people dress up and they send their kids out like little witches and so forth. And these are supposed to be believers. They're supposed to know the truth. They don't know the truth. And I'm going to tell you why they don't know the truth. Because they've exchanged the presence of eternal life for the exchange of present life. Come on, think about this. I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to me this morning and opened my eyes up to so many other things. Man, I realize the more we know, the less we know. And he's shaking everything. God is doing everything in his power to awaken the church before the wrath. So judgment is in the house of God. Judgment is all over the world. What we're seeing is judgment. You know, God put Trump in office, and whether you believe that or not, that's too bad. But the hand of God was on that man. And look at what he's been persecuted for less. I mean, come on. He's been the most persecuted person in the world that I know of, except for Jesus. So you know something's got to be right. When the Lord put Trump in office, the first thing he did in an executive order was he tore down the United States of America Corporation. He dismantled it. He dissolved it. Why? Because that corporation was controlled by the deep state Antichrist regime. All the bankers and everything else. That's why everything is controlled by money. See, the United States was under covenant with the Lord. Israel is under covenant with the Lord. The United States now, which is the United States of the Republic of America, is fighting for its independence. That's what this battle is about. Because the deep state doesn't want us to be independent of their control, of the financial, because that's how they control everyone. Israel is fighting for its independence. Even though there's a deep state darkness in there. They've allowed those borders to be open. They want to continue on with war. See, the deep state Antichrist wants war to distract and continue long service so they still have control over humanity. But God says no. And he said Israel would be the last nation to be handled of judgment before wrath. So what you're seeing right now is Israel being judged by God Almighty. What's he doing? He's removing all those Jews that say they're Jews or exposing them. But they are the synagogue of Satan. Does everybody understand? Even Netanyahu is deep state. There are many who you think are not. See, now there's a difference between deep state, globalism. Okay, there are those like the Iranians, they just want to control the world. They're not one world order people. They just want to control the world. But they're not associated with the one world order. They have their own agendas and militaries and so forth. But they're not involved with the deep state. They just want to destroy the deep state and everyone else. By the end of this month counts the last day of Israel's covenant and cooperation with corporation. It will be no longer a nation under covenant as a corporation. It's being dissolved. It'll become an independent nation. Does everybody understand? Just like the United States has become an independent nation now. No longer under the government rule. No longer under the Federal Reserves. No longer under the banks and the bankers. This is what's happening right now. These nations are fighting for their independence from Babylon, from the harlot all over the world. And that's why you and I got to stir ourselves up because things are going to get crazy. So now you got China and you got Russia ships outside in the Mediterranean waiting to attack Israel. You got United States aircraft carriers, the two largest aircraft carriers we have outside in the Mediterranean of Israel. Remember, the deep state wants global war. They want World War III, but it isn't going to happen yet. But there's going to be a lot of panic. People are going to freak out because Russia will decree war against Israel. Soon. Any day. But they won't go to war with them. They won't attack. Remember, the Bible talks about wars and rumors of wars. Well, what would shake the world is Russia saying, we're going to war. Why? Because now you got nuclear. Now everybody's going to go, it's World War III. It's not World War III. There's got to be more seals broke before that. We're going on the third seal, I think, of being broke. But there's so many things involved in the seals, and then when we hit the fourth seal, things will be different. But at this time right now, the world is fighting for its independence. They don't realize that they're fighting for their independence from the control of Satan's kingdom. See, they're still trying to fight an independence outwardly, outside, not inside. So there is a difference between the presence of life. It's a presence. And the presence of eternal life. You need to grab hold of this. There is a difference between the presence of life and a difference between the presence of eternal life. When God breathed into Adam, he breathed eternal life into him. That was the presence of eternal life. Adam was an eternal being. When God created Eve, she was an eternal being. Let's talk a little bit more about this, because this kind of blew me away this morning. You know, there's things that we talk about all the time, but then when God brings you different levels of understanding, it's like, wow. And it's so simple. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. Well, that freedom is independence, isn't it? Amen? It's independence. It's free. But what are you free from? Yourself, your old man, your flesh, the world's influence. Hallelujah. Genesis 3:9. And the Lord God called to Adam, where are you? Like he didn't know. Amen. And Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. What happened to Adam? He lost the presence of eternal life. The only thing he had was the presence of life. In fact, because God said, if you partake of that tree or that demon, that fallen angel, you're going to die. Now, Adam didn't die instantly, did he? Hello? And he said, who told you that you were naked? Who told you that the presence of eternal life left you? Have you eaten from or partaken from the tree of which I commanded you not to partake of? And the man said, the woman. This is just hilarious to me. I mean, already there's cross-reference to a blank. Blank, wait a minute, it wasn't me. I got influenced. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave me, you know, you made me buy this car. Now you take care of it, you know. The woman that you gave me, she gave me of the tree and I ate, I partake. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this you've done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me. So we see the down the line of the cross blame. And I ate. And the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity, hatred, between you and the woman, and between her seed and, or your seed and her seed. And he will bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception in pain, in which you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of the stranger. Now they heeded the voice of your wife. Now it wasn't because it was the wife, it was because she agreed with the serpent, and when she agreed, he got to speak through her. It wasn't her choice to speak. He controlled her now. He spoke through her to Adam to deceive him. And because you have heeded the voice of the stranger through your wife, and have partaken of the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of the living. Mother of the living. In other words, the mother of the presence of life, but not eternal life. Because she was going to be the mother of eternal life. No longer was she lost that position. She lost the position as the mother of the presence of eternal life, and now she became the mother of the presence of life. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. And also, verse 21, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. So what did he do? He took an animal that Adam had named and killed it, skinned it, and put it around them, because he said, if you partake of what I told you not to, you're going to die. Now I got to return some kind of life to you called present life, because you lost eternal life. I gave you eternal life. I didn't give you present life. Does everybody grab hold of this? I'm telling you, I had to ask the Lord, wait a minute. I need more understanding on this. See, Adam and Eve were created with the presence of eternal life. Not just life. It was eternal life. They lost it. They gave it up. And so they were going to die unless God did something. Now, he said, okay, he gave the judgments of how their lives were going to be, so you knew God had to restore some kind of life to them. So he killed an animal that Adam had named, shed its blood, and wrapped the clothing around them, because both of them had lost the presence of eternal life. But what did God do? He restored present life, the presence of life, but he did not restore the presence of eternal life. And then he shut down access of them to access the tree of eternal life, or they would live forever in that condition. Amen? Does everybody get that? Hallelujah. Adam, naked, clothed with the presence of life, now only carried, with the presence of eternal life, he was now only carrying the presence of life. Again, God sacrificed an animal that Adam named, covered them with the blood and the life because of the blood that was the offering. Think about this. God sacrificed an animal to himself. Why? So he could cover Adam and Eve. He was showing them how, from now on, the importance of offering of life, life for life, to maintain life, was a sacrifice. Ultimately, Jesus would be the eternal sacrifice for each and every one. So he offered a sacrifice to himself. It was a future precedent of what pleases God when sin is activated. What? Blood. The blood. So what was happening here is God was exchanging out that death for present life. He didn't restore eternal life. He just restored life for Adam and Eve. So everybody got it. Go to Genesis 4 and verse 1, please. It said, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, in other words, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. You know, without the Spirit of God, we don't get this. Because every time I see that, Lucifer was a Lord, not the Lord. Does everybody get it? He was God's right-hand man. He was a cherubim. He would, if he would have showed up to somebody, they considered him Lord. Same thing with Gabriel and so forth and Michael. They were known as lords because they ruled over things. That's what lord means. Lucifer was a lord. And every time I see this, I have required a man from the Lord. Well, what Lord? The one you had sex with in the garden, known as Lucifer. Does everybody get it? And called him Cain. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now, it doesn't say that it came from the Lord. Hello? Now, Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, everyone say process of time. See, we don't know the length time of this. But in the process of time came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Now, why didn't he accept Cain? Because he didn't give him a blood. See, God had already showed Adam and Eve. You don't think Adam and Eve were constantly sacrificing animals? As Cain and Abel were growing up? So Abel decided to follow the tradition to maintain the presence of life. Somebody get this. Oh, and Cain chose to follow another tradition that was going to promote death. Rebellion and disobedience. Everyone say rebellion and disobedience produces death. Oh, glory. So they knew, didn't they? They knew what to do. And so this is very powerful here because here he says, verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why didn't he just repent and do the right thing? Because he's a justifier. He's rebellious. He couldn't repent because of his pride and arrogance. Well, where did he get that from? His father. Not Adam. Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, if you do the right thing, will you not be accepted? See, so his offering to him was a rejection of him, not the offering. Does everybody get that? See, so many times God rebukes us or chastens us, and we think it's you bad, but it's not what it is. It's what you did was bad. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin, the presence of evil, lies at the door. And its desire is for you. But you should what? Rule over it. So God warned him ahead of time. Man, you need to do the right thing or something worse is going to happen. And it did. Now Cain talked with his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. And he lied, right? Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. That was God's judgment to him. Doesn't the enemy try to do this to us? Amen. The presence of life Glory to God. This, I'm not speaking about the presence of eternal life. I'm talking about the presence of life. But we're sharing them. We're expressing how they operate. And why Jesus came. What was he exchanging? The presence of life for the presence of eternal life. It's a presence. It's a knowing. It's something that surrounds not only you, but in you and through you. John chapter 1 and verse 1, please. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And in him was what? Life. Life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. So what happens is, he's talking about the life of creation. God created life. All men were created with life. There's light in everyone. But the problem is this. Darkness covers that light. Then the person becomes blinded. As the Bible said, the godless world blinds them. Amen? Why? So their light can't shine, and then they can't see. But that's called the presence of life. It's not called the presence of eternal life. Because the presence of eternal life breaks through those things. Go to verse 10. And he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not receive him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. So as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, or children of the eternal light, to those who believe in his name. In other words, they followed him. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So they were born again with the presence of eternal life, superseding the presence of life. Hallelujah. There's the exchange of life for the presence of eternal life. So think about this for a second. The world is fighting for independence from the bondages so that they can maintain the presence of life. Amen? And that's what's all over the world right now. People are fighting for their life, their freedom, their independence. But we're not fighting for that anymore. We're fighting for the presence of eternal life to maintain it. So this is where so many people get so caught up in the world and get offended and angry and frustrated and all that. Why? Because they're still fighting for their life, the present life, instead of eternal life. That's why Jesus warned us, what good is to lose your soul and gain all the things of the world instead of allowing things to be exchanged out and lose yourself in the present life for eternal life. John 12:23. But Jesus answered him, saying something. What did he say? The hour has come that the Son of Man should be what? Glorified. Now most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. And if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will what? Lose it. He who loves his present life. Amen? The presence of life, the present life, will lose it. And he who hates his life, present life, in this world, will keep his what? eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. See, so many people are caught up in the present life, though. They love the presence of this present life. And we're to hate this present life. Again, one of the keys to victory is consistency. Not only that, we got to be consistent in stirring ourselves up. Compromise will kill you. The end of compromise is death. Why? Because compromise is rebellion. It's a self-justification. But in the eyes of God, it's sin. Woohoo! John 6:53. Then Jesus said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Man, it freaked everybody out. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. They are probably thinking, how am I going to eat this guy's flesh and drink his blood? But again, he was speaking spiritually. His flesh is his word. His blood was his spirit. Amen? For my flesh is food indeed. And my blood is drink indeed. We drink the spirit. We eat the word. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats, who feeds on me, will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not of your fathers ate, the manna, and are dead. He who eats of this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Powerful. Let's go on. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? That was a warning right there. Offense will move you out of position all the time. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time on, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Boy, did they regret it afterwards. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of what? Eternal. You have the words from the eternal presence of life. Oh, hallelujah. John chapter 5 and verse 31. Jesus said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. Why? Jesus was manifesting the eternal presence of God Almighty. John was carrying the anointing. Amen. But he didn't do miracles, signs, and wonders, did he? No. But he brought conviction because he was decreeing, John was carrying the words of life with him. Does everybody understand that? Because God put it in him. That's why he carried the spirit of Elijah. And he would go forth and decree those things. Why? God spoke to Elijah, didn't he? He spoke to... Is everybody okay? Understand what I'm saying? So in this, the eternal words that God gave John the Baptist was bringing conviction so that people will repent and manifest the blood. In verse 37, and the Father himself who sent me has testified to me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor have seen his form. But you do not have his word. His eternal words abiding in you because whom he sent, him you did not believe. You search the scriptures. Now this blows me away. You search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Phenomenal. The words of the eternal life. In other words, you can know the words. Knowing the words of God is not enough. It's his presence of eternal life that manifests his person. His what? His person. That's called relationship. Second Corinthians 3, verse 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, which is the ministry of life, eternal life. Amen? Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Spirit does what? Gives life. Why? He's giving eternal life. So we are the ministry of the presence of the eternal life, where there is freedom. Freedom. Amen? So does the presence of life bring freedom? No. The presence of eternal life brings freedom. Amen? It wasn't a trick question. Acts 17, verse 22. And Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all the things you are very bound. Religious, same thing. For I was passing through and considering the objects, the idols of your worship, and I found at the altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I'm going to proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and boundaries of their dwellings that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. There, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, and he has given assurance of this to you by raising him from the dead. We are at that point now. The world is being judged everywhere. Again, it's not his wrath, it's judgment. Amen? Judgment. So he's explaining here, okay, so we live and have our being in God, in the presence of life. But there's a difference between the presence of life and the presence of eternal life. And you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their desires. Hallelujah. Paul explains their worship of deception and their worship to the present life. And he's wanting to introduce them to the worship of the presence of eternal life. There was a difference. The life giver. You know, so many times we take for granted the presence of eternal life, or what we call eternal life. We just think it's something that's after, when it's now. It is the presence of eternal life now. You're not waiting to get into the presence of eternal life. You are, in you is the presence of eternal life. That's why we must stir ourselves up all the time. That's why your flesh needs to be anointed. Why? To cooperate with the eternal presence of life. Because your flesh is the present life. Amen? So when the anointing comes, it cooperates with the eternal presence. Without the anointing, you in trouble. Then you're about you yourself, and you're miserable. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 36, everybody there? In verse 22. Therefore says the Lord to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. He's talking to everybody. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nation shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord. When I am what? Hallowed, honored, respected in you before their eyes. So they will see you. But they will see me in you. They will sense something different about you. Why? Because you will carry the presence of eternal life, no longer just the presence of life. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will take out the heart of stone, and out of your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do it. What's he going to do? He's going to put the spirit. Well, what's his presence? It's the presence of eternal life. Amen? So there's a battle in you and around you for a presence, for the position of presence. The position of the presence of the eternal life, or the position of presence of life. And in that word life, it is life existence, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. It is a fallen nature. It is the nature of sin. Amen? That's the only way without the anointing can it cooperate. That's why you got to take dominion over it. That's why your soul has to be converted, or you won't take dominion over it. It'll constantly take dominion over you. You'll end up following your emotions, your feelings, and everything else before following Christ. You'll put all of those things before you, before God. Now, I'm not saying that will happen all the time, but you'll have that struggles. You'll be like a roller coaster. They need to put you on the fairgrounds. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Isaiah 14, verse 12. So when the serpent was in the Garden of Eden, he no longer had to carry the presence of eternal life. He only carried the presence of life. Amen? So look at this. It says in verse 12, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. How you have fallen from what? The presence of eternal life. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. See ya. And this is the Lord's response. You shall be brought down to hell, Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble? Who shook kingdoms? Who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities? Who did not open the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nation, all of them will sleep in glory, everyone in his own house, but you are cast out of the grave. Why? Because he's going to the abyss, the fire too. Like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit, like a corpse trotting underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The brood of evildoers shall never be named. Now, think about this. Besides his offsprings, okay, in this temporary realm, he was still supposed to be overseeing Israel, which he failed to do. And all of the people were being slaughtered and so forth. But in this, now that he produced offsprings through the fallen angels that went into women and so forth and produced offspring, he allowed them to be slain too. Does everybody understand that? And they're still being slain. All of his children are being slain. Look at verse 21. Prepare slaughter for his children. Because of the iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities again. Ain't going to happen. God is dismantling it all. He's not going to let them rise up again. Only when it's time for his wrath. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. What's it say in this? The children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So you see, in all these people being murdered and slaughtered, there's no eternal life abiding in them. There is no respect of life for them. Amen? Cain was of the wicked one. Remember, he chose to do the wrong thing. God warned him, look at man, do the right thing. Why? Because the presence of evil wants to take you out and use you. Do the right thing. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge you, brethren, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, slap with long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Why? Because their souls have not been converted yet. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work as an evangelist, fulfilling your purpose, call, and ministry. Itching ears, well, we see that all over the place. Those that are promoting, it's amazing to me that I just can't, it's hard for me to imagine some dude dressed up as a woman trying to preach the gospel. I just can't get it. Transgenders. It's just, I don't get it. I wouldn't want to be in that church. I wouldn't want to be near that pulpit either. I mean, it's just a matter of time when lightning's coming. Something's going to have to happen. How long are you going to, why does the Lord say today, how dare you preach my word? You have no right to release my word to anyone, you who practice wickedness. They will be judged. And all of these morons that approve of them. Galatians 6, verse 7. Is everybody there? Do not be what? Deceived. God's not mocked, for whatever man sows, he's going to reap. Nobody outruns. Nobody escapes. For whatever you've planted, you're going to reap it. Whether it's wicked or righteous, you're going to reap it. For he who sows to his flesh, will the flesh reap corruption? But he who sows to the Spirit, will the Spirit reap everlasting life? And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we're going to reap if we don't lose heart. In other words, when you quit and turn aside, and you so many times people have missed their blessing because the enemy sees your blessing coming, and then he distracts you, and you miss it. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Amen. Nobody escapes. I'm going to close at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. We want the presence of eternal life. We're done with this presence of life. We're exchanging it. Amen. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God, revelation knowledge of God, and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things. What is that divine power? The eternal presence. That pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly and great precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For these things are yours and abound. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, we be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Anybody want to never stumble? Well, hallelujah. He just told you how. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you and I, in the presence of eternal life, which is a way of living, isn't it? Life is considered a way of living. Amen? So you and I, in the presence of eternal life, the divine nature is activated. It's in the presence of life that it's not activated. So which one you choose to follow, which one you choose to accept that moment, is the one you will live in. That's why you must break out all the time. Amen? Look at, God has given us the power to choose. Remember we talked about the enemy trying to steal our power. Don't let him do it. Time is so short in the area of so many things getting ready to happen. And the blessings of God's presence, eternal presence. Can you imagine this? In other words, everybody knows the presence of life. But when the presence of eternal life is released, people are going to go, whoa, what is this? Things are going to change. And if they accept that without rejecting it, they're going to change. Those that reject it, no. See, because when the presence of eternal life comes, there's a question in that life all the time. Will you die for me? Will you live for me? Will you surrender all to me? Three simple questions that comes in the presence of eternal life. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Seal it. Seal it with the blood, Lord. Let it penetrate our inner being. And bring to remembrance, Holy Spirit, that we are carriers of the eternal presence of life and not take it for granted. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.